This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Surprise at Texas Ranger Spring Training. Thanks in large part to ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. Also want to give a shout out to the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing. Remember, same day service guaranteed with them. Right now, we bring to you Texas Rangers broadcaster, former play-by-play voice of the El Paso Buzzards. It is Matt Hicks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. That's right. I did do Buzzards hockey.
How about that for an intro?
I was actually the first broadcaster for the El Paso Buzzards back in 1996, maybe something like that.
I'm not sure that you think that's the real year it happened at all.
I think it was 1996.
Okay. Somewhere in that range.
Was the last time the Cowboys won playoff games?
Was I always
right? They won a couple.
Were you a hockey guy then? Like, or was that like a hey, I'm doing?
No.
Some work
so
here.
Hockey came to El Paso. I had gotten to El Paso in '95. And I was really excited because it was the first time a baseball team had hired me. I had worked for radio stations prior to that. And then the Western Professional Hockey League started up, and there were only six teams in the initial season of WPHL hockey, and El Paso had one of them. And I, just like Eric Nadell, I always wanted to be a hockey broadcaster. And so this opportunity opened up. And the guy who owned the team, the baseball team at the time, the El Paso Diablos, Jim Paul, he's like, yeah, go ahead. It'll be great. I know you love hockey. Go ahead and do it. And so I was. And then he sold the ball club to this conglomerate up in Idaho. And they decided that the hockey team was competition for the baseball team in terms of marketing and sales.
So you can only
I was given an ultimatum. Like, you can stay with the baseball team, but you've got to stop doing the hockey. And then the hockey people were like, well, we'll make you an offer. And basically, they made me a full-time offer that matched what I was doing in baseball. And so I was like, well, let's see. The Texas League has been around since 1884.
Yeah.
WPHL is just getting started. I so badly want to do hockey, but there's really no decision to be made here. I need to stay with the more stable organization. And so I dropped hockey after half a season. But, boy, I really wanted to do it. Coming up through the University of Maryland, I thought that's what I was going to do. I became good friends with Ron Weber, who at the time was the Washington Capitals broadcaster. He was their first broadcaster for their first 25 seasons. And I still stay in touch with Ron. He lives in Massachusetts now. I think he's 92. Still sounds like he could do a hockey game. But, yeah, both, you know, and you know, Eric's story, of course, is he grew up, he wanted to be the Rangers broadcaster.
The New York Rangers. Wow, and here he is, the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, so we both wanted to do hockey, and we end up doing baseball, and we love it. So.
How much did you dig Four Nations then? We haven't really had a chance to talk with you about that.
Kind of liked watching. I didn't get a chance to watch every game. I watched some highlights, but I did get a chance basically to watch both games between the United States and Canada, yeah. And that was hockey at its finest. Mm. Man, oh, man.
My thought is that that's what baseball should do every third year, eliminate the All-Star game. And you have that wherever the All-Star game was supposed to be, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, four nations, mm-hmm. Japan, United States, let's say Dominican Republic, and Venezuela. And they each play a game Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and whoever has the best records, you can have the tiebreaker be runs for, runs against. Saturday, play a championship game.
Yeah, I mean,
the arms would be built up at that point.
I think Major League Baseball's All-Star Game is probably still the best of all of them, mm-hmm. but it's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to. I can remember. So I grew up a Washington Senators fan. So I grew up an American League fan as a kid, and when the All-Star Game came around, I was focused, and so were the players. There was pride because you didn't have interleague play.
Yeah.
And, you know, the National League had its own set of this is how we play the game, and the American League played the game a different way, and you felt like your league was the best, and it was pride that was on the line, and that was something that was big back then. And I mean, it's not to say that these guys aren't prideful. They are. If they play in the All-Star game, they want to do well, and they don't want to, you know, slack off and play at 75%.
But they're not trying to be like, American League Baseball, stupid. Watch this. We're going to win. Yeah.
We slug over here in the AL. National League, they're just a bunch of bunters. That was back in the day.
So anyway, maybe baseball should consider, you know, something
like
a little bit different.
Maybe not every year, but...
Right, exactly. But I think that of all of the, you know, major sports, that the MLB All-Star Game is probably still the best.
What is your favorite day of the week, Matt?
That was
what?
I listened to y'all's close on Saturday. I was driving around. Going to Rockwall from Dallas for some high school baseball, and I texted Jared after the last out, and you guys kind of spent about 3 minutes figuring out how we're going to close out this spring training game.
Yeah, I know. Jared will every now and then just pull something out of the hat, and he pulled that out of the hat the other day. He doesn't ask me. He just says, well, everybody, you know, well, you know, Matt's favorite day of the week is, and I'm like, no,
was it Thursday?
Well, when he queried me later, I'm like, well, yeah, my favorite day of the week is Thursday because I'm playing along with the bit,
okay,
you know. My favorite day is Thursday. My second favorite day is Saturday.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get it.
You know.
Oh, in your face Friday.
Yeah. Mondays, you know, right at the bottom of the list. But you know why I picked Thursday?
No.
I was born on a Thursday.
There you go.
And my wife was born on a Thursday. Our son was born on a Thursday.
Now, man, that is wild.
I have no clue.
I don't either. I was just thinking, born. I have no idea what day of the week my boys were born or my wife or me. I mean, I could tell
mine
you the
was a
date. Day. I could tell you the date.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I have no idea what day of the week
mine was
it
a Wednesday.
Was.
Like,
how old are you, kid?
Typhoon in the Philippines.
Oh,
and a
okay.
strike
What's
by
your
Canadian
name again?
Postal workers.
See, I've always kind of thought Tuesday was the worst day, because at least Monday you still get some of that reflective glow from the weekend, and you're like, man, that was nice. So,
and sometimes Monday can be a part of the weekend.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Tuesday's never part of the weekend.
No, Tuesday's absolutely the worst.
You're right. That's a good argument.
Now, we have this conversation a little bit earlier, just in terms of major league talent. You know, Yahoo's been putting out their rankings for 26 and under major league talent, and the Rangers were ranked 22nd. And, like, I know we're excited about Rocker and Carter and Langford, but, like, do you think that there's a lot of proven 26 and under talent on this team? Because it feels like not really.
Yeah, and I don't know, only because I don't really concentrate on stuff like that. You know, here at spring training, you know, there might be a few young guys that you haven't seen that stand out early on. And right now, like for me, Alejandro Ozuna.
Yes, we just talked about him.
Has really, like, opened my eyes. And I don't know, like, I don't concentrate on guys' ages, but I think Ozuna is 22.
That's correct.
So, but he has been... You know what? I don't know what the numbers say offensively, but it doesn't matter because every at bat we've seen so far has been a competitive at bat. Whether he's made an out or not,
he's really worked the
other pitcher, and crazy good defensive plays. Like yesterday, he tried to make a diving catch on a ball that got popped up when Eovaldi was pitching, and the ball fell in and ended up leading to a run, but he almost made a terrific play there. And then later in the ball game, when the game itself was on the line, a ball got crushed into the corner in right field, and he made this incredible diving catch.
That was to close the inning, right?
Saved a run.
Yeah.
At the time, the Guardians had scored 3 runs to get back to within a run. That would have tied the game, but he just laid out. And we talked a little bit with Bruce Bochy yesterday about Ozuna, and he said what he likes about him. There's a lot of things that he likes about him, but he likes that he's aggressive, both in his approach at the plate and how he plays in the field, and that he's not afraid to fail. And I think that's one thing when guys are trying to impress people, when they're trying to impress coaches, that there might be a part of them that's like, oh, I've got to do everything right. I can't make any mistakes. And, you know, Bruce Bochy telling us with Osuna, it's okay to make mistakes as long as your approach to everything is correct. And so we're seeing this from this kid. So I don't know if we're going to see Osuna in a Rangers uniform during the regular season this year. I mean, maybe. But the way he's playing right now, he has definitely opened some eyes, and he looks like the kind of guy who would not be uncomfortable if he got called up.
What are your thoughts on, so far, the reviews that are happening from catcher, hitter, or pitcher?
Are we talking about the automatic ball strike system?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not hearing a whole lot, and I actually haven't had a chance to talk, say, to Jonah or Kyle about it. All we can say is that, like, from an observation standpoint, is that Kyle Higashioka is really good at this.
Okay.
I think he's like 4 for 4.
Oh, he knows the strike zone.
Questioning
only behind the plate, or also while he's at bat.
When he is catching,
okay.
I think he's. Did he make a request when he was hitting? Now
I don't know.
I don't remember. But it seems like Higashioka really knows the strike zone.
Yeah. If it was me, I would just let my catcher do it. I would tell him if I think in 26 it's going to be in Major League Baseball.
I think so too.
Is I would tell the catcher, I'm going to trust you because you're behind the dish. I'm not going to concentrate on that.
Or even
that.
Think about it.
I want you, if you think it's a big situation and it was a strike, you do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that out of my hands.
And the fact that they've been able to get it turned around so quickly feels like a
right
huge
away.
Part of it.
And that's not. And what's really nice about it is not just that it happens quickly, but the fans in the ballpark get to see exactly what's going on.
Yeah, tennis. So
they like, know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They know immediately whether or not the call was overturned or not, and it doesn't take a lot of time. The umpire immediately turns. He addresses the crowd, says that we're going to the automatic ball strike system, and then, you know, whatever the result is. Yesterday we had each team miss. The Guardians missed one. The Rangers missed one. But it doesn't seem like that there's any hesitation to go to this and to get it done. And, of course, we've had one game this year where we were playing over at Sloan Park against the Cubs, and they don't have the ABS system over there.
Mm.
And one of our catchers was just – you could tell that the pitch was not
called correctly.
Yeah, it was not called correctly. And immediately he requested, like, let's go in and – the umpire had to go, we don't have
that's not the stadium
here.
Sorry.
You can't stop tapping your helmet.
How I'm curious because this is something that I ran into 2 days ago when Rocker was starting. Are you ever at a sporting event? I know most of the time, obviously, you're doing it right here on 105.3 The Fan. Have you ever been in a sporting event and you don't want to get involved in somebody's conversation, even though they've got so many of the facts incorrect? So Kumar Rocker was pitching on Tuesday, and obviously, rough first inning. And the two people behind me, they're like, yeah, wasn't this guy one of their draft picks? And they're like, yeah, he's been terrible. They brought him up last year, and he was just awful. So I think they might cut him. And I was just like...
And then they were like, Leiter and him were at Clemson together.
Yeah, him and Leiter, they both played together at, I think it was Clemson.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I was like,
Oh my gosh.
Shut your mouth, Kevin. You do not want to get involved in this conversation. But like, have you been in those situations where you're like, I do not want to be in this conversation, but there are so many factual inaccuracies.
There are times, and I don't do it very often, there are times that I'll come out here at spring training where I'm not working, and I'll just sit in the crowd, and you'll hear those conversations, and you just bite your lip because you do not want to speak up and say anything because you want to be entertained too, right? You want to where's this conversation
that
going?
That was entertaining.
You know, and I would have never thought that a couple of guys would be talking about Rocker and Leiter and going, I think they went to Clemson. So
and one of them sucks.
He's terrible.
So and that's an advertisement for, you know what, when you come to the ballpark, you ought to bring your radio because maybe you'll find out a little something. And Jared was quick to realize in Kumar's start the other day that he was throwing a lot of soft curves, a lot of slow curves, which is a pitch that he doesn't feature very often. So clearly he was working
trying that pitch. Yeah.
And I think he was throwing some changeups as well. So he was working on stuff. And that's what guys do, right? He's not – Kumar Rocker's not necessarily worried about results here. It's not like his – status in the organization is going to be impacted because he gives up 4 runs in an inning. He's working on adding to his pitching repertoire. So, you know, maybe bring a radio and learn something.
Matt, this is on paper. This team looks like the bats can just crush. Like they looks like they'll. And even Bochy told us, you know, we feel like we can get back to the slugging ways again. From what you've seen, or from what you've seen this offseason as they put this together, what gives you that promise that, it could be kind of like what we saw in 23, what we saw a couple years ago again?
Well, number one is health, and I know that sounds, you know, it's overused.
I want to drive that home. That's a big deal.
But all of these guys are healthy right now, and so that's the big thing. Plus, you know, the two biggest additions to the lineup, you went out and you got some slug in Jock Peterson and Jake Berger. And Peterson also gives you the added plus of on base percentage. So whatever he hits, if he hits 240, his OBP is going to be 340, 350, something in that neighborhood, and he is going to slug. And, you know, Peterson from the left side, Berger from the right side. Berger maybe not as much in the on-base department, but, you know, you've got two guys there that could potentially hit 30 home runs. And so you put them in and around, you know, Corey Seager, and you hope a resurgent Adolis Garcia,
yeah,
and Josh Young being in the lineup every day. Now you're talking, you know, 2 through 7 in the order, and that's a grind for an opposing pitcher because everybody coming up at that, in those spots, is a home run threat. And I think that that's where the Rangers want to be. I don't remember exactly what the numbers are, but last year the Rangers were 22nd or 23rd in OBP, 22nd or 23rd in slugging.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in the bottom third of baseball in terms of that. And I think that's really what this team is concentrating on, is slugging, just driving the ball, hitting the ball hard. If you don't get the home run, get the double. So that's where the focus is for this offense.
Man, thank you very much for jumping on with us. I saw multiple people are like, I can hear your voice. It's baseball time.
Yeah, it is.
So
yeah, it
thank
is.
You very
thank
much
you for jumping voice. On
with us. Yeah, you can hear Bassick's voice throughout this press box. I don't care where you are. Close all the doors. Mike Bassick will be heard.